Hey everybody, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Welcome to the day after the day after Thanksgiving vacation. It's Tuesday, November 30th, 2021. And we've got my good friends from the National Council for the Social Studies. We've got Dr. Larry Pasca, who is their executive director and the president of the association from Colorado Springs, where he's a social studies teacher. I believe, if I remember correctly, in a middle school, but he's going to correct me if I'm wrong, Anton Chulsky. They just had their big conference last week, the NCSS conference. It was virtual, okay, but it went great. They had tremendous speakers, Steve Van Zandt. Yeah, that's Steve Van Zandt. Amy Klobuchar. You can go right down the list, and it was really good. We're going to find out about the conversations that took place at the virtual conference, okay, how the speakers went, and then we're going to take all that and find out what really happens in a social studies classroom these days and see how we can all advocate for better communication so people understand exactly what's going on in these, if I may, crazy times. All right, we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our consortium for equity. All right, and you'll like it over there. We have our magazine, Equity and Access, and we'll have a new issue out at the end of this week, our December issue. All right, and we got all our podcasts, like this one over there. We'll archive at ace-ed.org, and a link to our new SEL, Social-Emotional Learning-Oriented website, which is called seltoday.org. Okay, so you can check all that out, ace-ed.org, and without further ado, let me bring on my two guests, one from New York and one from Colorado. Let's start with New York. Good morning, Dr. Pasca.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm fine, Larry. Are you in New York today? Are you home upstate?
No. I'm in my new home state for 5 years. It's in Maryland. And I'm enjoying life in the DMV here, as we call it.
You know, I knew that, but I saw the 518 area code, and it didn't connect into my what's left of my brain, and I apologize for that. I knew it was Maryland.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
but enjoying it here very, very well. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving holiday.
We did, and I hope you did, too. I mean, it's just great. And you've had it right after your conference, which you're going to talk about. Let me say hi to Anton. Good morning, Anton. Welcome back.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing as well?
I'm good.
They're ridiculously beautiful out here in Colorado Springs today. Today we've got unseasonably warm weather.
Nice.
Headed our way, and so yeah, things are good. And yes, I will correct you. I do teach at the high school.
The high school, I apologize. So I got
that's all right.
New York, it should have been Maryland, and middle school should have been high school. That's for the two of them.
Yeah, well, we've got that. You know what? That's like you said when you opened up. It's the day after the day after. We're still coming up
after
back
the
off
day
of
after.
Yeah,
and I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, by the way. You and the whole family, et cetera, Anton. I'll stay with you, Anton. It's your first conference, and it was, of course, virtual, NCSS conference. Socialstudies.org, everybody. A wonderful conference. My wife was participating in it. And talk to me about what happened. Your thoughts. Anton, you're president of the council. Talk
sure.
about your thoughts on it. Yeah, go.
You know, I was just totally thrilled with our speakers, with the sessions that we had for teachers. You know, it was a little bit different this year in the fact that we did go ahead and we kind of spread it out over a week, which allowed us to it allowed us, for example, to allow teachers who typically have to attend or they want to attend meetings of their communities, kind of interest groups. Those happened earlier in the week, and so it allowed teachers to do that, check in during the evening. We had a phenomenal sessions that were put together by our college and university faculty association, part of our kind of a group within our group. The supervisors had some wonderful folks as part of their sessions. So, you know, by spreading it out, it allowed for people to kind of get to the sessions that they typically would have missed. And so I think that was a great thing. At the same time, you know, going forward into the weekend, you know, we typically know that at a conference, you know, we're running around from session to session to session, and we always miss. You know, we have to make those choices.
Yeah.
Always miss one of the ones. And so the nice thing about this virtual platform that we have is that teachers will be able to go back until the end of April to catch up on some of those sessions. I've already had a chance to go back and look at one or two myself. You know, the sessions, I wind up kind of traveling from session to session.
Of course.
I dropped into was just phenomenal, The engagement of the folks who were there was just top notch. And the professional development the teachers received, I think, was really incredible.
What was your favorite? What? This is not a reflection on the speaker. It's more on topic. What was your favorite one?
I'm going to separate this into a couple of different categories. One of my favorite sessions was a session that I saw that dealt with how to engage students in fact checking and using new tools on misinformation, which was actually developed by a team out of Europe. And one of the presenters was joining us from Brussels, which was really interesting. Yeah, I know, right? So I think that was one of my favorite individual sessions. And then the speakers, you know, they were really incredible and really powerful. You know, I think, you know, anytime you can get Valerie Jarrett, Senator Klobuchar, and Stevie Van Zandt all part of the program, boy, you've checked off a bunch of boxes. And
You certainly have. Okay. I thought it was just great. The quality, and not only the quality speaker, which is always good, but the celebrity of the speakers, okay, brings people in, and I just think it was they're big names, big people, and I might add smart people, including Stevie Van Zandt. Okay, Larry, what was your favorite thing about the conference, if you have something?
Oh, my goodness. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm always impressed by the broad array of content that we have and the number of educators around the country that come together that share their learning. When you just scan the content topics, and for those that register, they can access our sessions through April, so you can come back and visit them. That's the most fun part to me of a virtual conference is that it's not over when it's over. You can keep coming back and experiencing it and learning from it. So I think that's the benefits of virtual that we've learned. Prior to the main session starting, we would release some sessions every night, and some of those were widely viewed. We have some committee meetings, communities. We have online communities that get together as discussion forums and plan their own programming, so I would drop into some of these. And just all around, you know, we're still, you know, I think struggling in our schools. We're struggling to be whole. So any chance to come together while virtual is not the most ideal way, it just people are together. They're happy together. They're sharing ideas together. They're saying, you know, we need to connect more and do more after this. And I think every time I would just drop into a meeting or drop into a session, and I'm just seeing that connection happen. And that is, whether it's virtual or in person, it's so important. That's what we exist to do as an associate. That's why we exist. We exist to bring educators together and share. And it did happen in the best way that it could virtually. And I just really all around was proud to see that, and just proud to see such a deep array of content and thought leadership happen among our members this conference.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I think the virtual is going to be, you know, we talk about the virtual, but we'd like to get back to normal. And I actually think virtual is going to become a new normal. Okay, this Omicron the variant, all these things keep popping up. And to me, the virtual allows far more people to attend. And although it's not as much fun drinking a martini by yourself while watching a session, okay, it is a way to get more and more people and expand it. I think it's going to become really a new normal as opposed to something we're doing till we get back to a normal. I think there's going to be some changes in there. That's my opinion. You guys can all run with it. I got to tell you, somebody mentioned the word, it might have been, I think it was Anton. Okay, misinformation. Did you say that, Anton? Did I hear that word? Is that you?
You did.
Yeah. And, you know, they call the Internet, we used to call it the information highway. And now I call it the misinformation highway. Okay? And, you know, it's evolved into something that's just wacky out there, as important as it is. And I want to focus on that. You know, social studies is under a bit of fire, per usual, and it needs to crawl out from under that and get back into the sunlight in full and not be defensive, okay? But communicative and explain why we do things the way we do things, because as January 6th showed us, okay, civics, social studies, critical race theory, whatever you want to, however you want to define that, just the whole idea of racism in the United States. What we do as social studies educators and geography educators, I know you guys work with them too, becomes more and more and more important as the world becomes global, all right, and is more global than ever before, okay? And so that's my little intro speech, all right? I'll go back to Anton, Mr. President, okay? Misinformation, how do we work against it about social studies? What's going on in the, what's going on in the classroom? How do we spread the word, the real stuff?
Sure, sure. Well, I, you know,
that was my, by the way, that was a long intro. That was a very dramatic intro, but keep going.
Well, yeah, great. No pressure on me going forward.
Yeah, no, please follow up. You, yeah, go ahead.
So I think a couple of things. I think, so certainly, you know, opportunities like this to kind of get the word out in terms of what actually is occurring in classrooms is one way of doing it. You know, I think that one of the things that I focused in on a little bit was this idea that we have to remind people that certainly the National Council for Social Studies has stood for a long time for academic freedom. And teaching the difficult topics within our classrooms in an age appropriate fashion.
Yeah.
You know, we're as I, you know, was putting things together, I reminded that we have our own professional code of ethics for social studies teachers in terms of supporting them. But I think the other thing is that, you know, through our work, through work with some of our colleagues and partnerships such as the Learn from History Coalition that we've been a member of since early on this past summer, when some of the misinformation really started going out there in terms of what's being taught, you know, it's really up to individual teachers as well as our organization to get the word out and saying, first of all, have a conversation with parents and community members and teachers, right? I think oftentimes people are hearing things in the news, and yet when they talk to their teacher or talk to their school administrator,
of course,
or whatever the case might be, they might be surprised to find out what's actually being taught within the schools. And,
of course,
you know,
right.
And Larry and I have said this over and over again that, you know, you would think that based on what you hear from one side, that it was nothing but social studies, you know, 7 hours a day in a classroom.
Yeah.
Look, I'd be honest with you. I'd love to have, you know, I'll settle for at least the 45 minutes that we should be having in elementary classrooms that unfortunately we're not having. You know, we can point to the fact over the last 20 years, the amount of time spent in elementary and middle school classrooms for social studies has actually declined.
That's right.
And I was talking last night with some college university faculty, and you know, they were noting that the next generation of teachers also needs to up their game in regards to social studies to make sure that they're well educated as well. So I think it's a matter of education. It's also a matter of listening, but it's also a matter of us getting out there and saying, look, we are willing to take on difficult subject material. We're willing to do that in a way, however, that is appropriate for our students, and we're gonna use the resources that are available to us. And we have to be careful that you're not limiting our resources, because, you know, the minute you start limiting resources, you actually are limiting the kinds of discussions that can be had in classrooms. So, you know, it's it's not going to be an easy task, but I think it's a task that social studies educators across the country are willing to engage in.
And I agree with you on everything you said. And one thing I think that also needs to be said, because, and again, they're using this term critical race theory. Okay, nobody can really particularly define it unless you want to try to do it. But we need to teach a way to understand all of American history. Okay, the good and the bad. We're not blaming people, okay, that are alive today. We just want people to understand it. If you don't know where you've been, it's hard to figure out where you're going. All right, and that's all there is to that. All right, and history is always open to interpretation. There are certain things that are facts, but the great part of history is, and social studies is interpretation of those facts. Okay, but the one thing I have to say, Anton, is that while teachers should be great advocates, particularly social studies teachers, of what they're doing, the administration, and Dr. Pasker, you can comment on this one, administration has to be of a great help in terms of communicating to the community, okay, of what is being taught, why it's being taught, how it's being taught, all right? And if we don't get administration involvement, you leave teachers hanging out there. All right, what are your thoughts on my incredible statement just now, Larry?
Well, you know, I think the big challenge that we're still seeing is schools are still digging out from this massive shift of how we do learning that happened on March 13th, 2020. You know, it's a year and a half later. And, you know, it's great to hear, depending on who you're listening to, that the economy is booming, that jobs have come back, you know, that people are finding new ways to work. That's all well and good. But there are still massive inequities in learning. And sadly, we're still fighting about, you know, how we keep schools open safely. We're still fighting about the resources for schools. We're fighting about whether masks should be worn or not. None of this is about teaching and learning. I don't
That's
often
right.
hear
We've lost track of that.
Schools
That's right.
celebrating. They're not celebrating, here's what learning looks like today, and here's the challenge of the day. Like, here's a teacher from this high school in this town and what they did with their kids today. Let's just celebrate that. And I would really encourage us as a society, let's take a step back for a moment. The first thing we need to do is celebrate what a school does, what its purpose is, and who the people are in a school that make the learning and the magic happen. Let's focus on good things that are happening today. They are happening all around us. They are often happening despite insurmountable obstacles. And yet the narrative that we, you know, are allowing to be in the public is schools are places that are shut. People are, you know, unable to work effectively. There are shortages. I mean, it's not being portrayed as the wonderful and urgently needed place it is in our society. It's being treated as a battleground for all of these other fights.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
As a parent of kids, whose kids come home every day thrilled at school, they love their teachers.
Most
They're
kids
happy
do.
With
Most
their
do.
Classmates.
Yeah.
They are. And that's so could we celebrate that? Because when my kids come home, they by and large have had a good day. They've learned. They want to keep learning. They're mad when they can't go to school, honestly. And again, not every kid is like that, I understand. But a lot of children really do love their teacher. They love their school. They love their classmates. And I encourage us all, can we start to celebrate that, highlight and uplift what's happening that works, rather than starting from a model of what's not working or what is being threatened.
Or what we
think
isn't working.
Because that automatically it sets the conversation wrong. And that's not just an administrator problem. It is a society problem, but I would love more messages from school districts that go out to communities to just say, hey, did you know X was happening in this social studies class today? Here's what happened. Start the message there. Then talk about the operating budget. Then talk about the extra protections you need. Then talk about the COVID testing. But start with the learning that's happening, and then you can introduce the other things that are very important. I'm not saying they're not important, but we have to elevate the fundamental purpose of a school, and that is to foster active participation and readiness for civic life. That's the fundamental purpose. Let's celebrate and remind everyone what that mission is.
Hear, hear. And we have to advocate it, and we have to get everybody advocating. And advocating for public education, not only just the social studies. It's that important, which reminds me, you mentioned this a minute ago, Anton. You were talking to some of your collegiate colleagues, okay, at the schools of education, teaching future social studies teachers. What are they saying about the cohorts? Are they expecting a shortage of social studies teachers, or is it gaining popularity? What's happening?
I think what we're seeing is that right now, and you know, this is across the country, we're seeing a shortage of teachers, period.
Yes, we are.
My own school district here in Colorado Springs, you know, we're short, and not just teachers, right? I think it extends to, educational support personnel as well.
Absolutely.
The people that work alongside teachers in the classrooms, as well as those that are helping to keep our buildings open and drive our buses.
Right.
It's interesting. I mean, I'll have to say that my youngest daughter just started teaching this week. She came to teaching. She's going to teach in a middle school here. She's teaching in a middle school here in Colorado Springs, the same district I teach in. She's actually going to be teaching drama to middle schoolers.
Good for her.
I know,
congrats.
Right? Her background is, despite the fact that there are educators in our family, she was not going to go in that direction. That was fine with us. She has a degree in communications, but she had a theater background, and they were looking for. She didn't quite find the job she was looking for in terms of that in communications. So she's taking a risk and stepping into a situation right mid-year in a middle school.
Good for her.
So she's going to have some challenges, So it's not just social studies, although in the nice thing in terms of talking with the college university folks, we are seeing people who are interested in becoming social studies teachers. And so that's a good thing.
Good.
Do we have enough? No, we could probably always use more because, we know that, I'm in my 39th year of teaching. There are people who are in their 25th year of teaching who are probably looking to retire rather sooner than later. And so we're going to need that next generation. And we need a next generation of teachers that, quite honestly, look more like the students that we teach. We have to diversify our own ranks.
Yes, we do.
In terms of teachers. I'm hoping that we're able to attract more and more younger teachers of color, who can probably better relate to the students than I can. Some days.
Just because you still watch Lawrence Welk reruns is no reason to think why you can't relate to your students. I don't understand that. And they don't know who Pink Floyd is. So trust me, you do need newer students. Yeah.
Yeah, or if you talk to them about the Honeymooners, they look at you like they have three heads.
I could name all 39 episodes, but I won't do that today, okay, of the Honeymooners.
Right.
And they look at you and go, to who? They don't even know who the who is, so we'll move on from that, okay? It's incredible. As you guys had your conference, okay, what were the big topics that came up? Larry, just off the top of your head, what were the key things that everybody was worried about or concerned about or thought about or whatever? Blair? Dr. Pasca?
Yeah, so our
the big ones.
Yes, our
the big challenges.
Our overall theme is solidarity and social studies, but we had a number of sessions that focused on understanding equity in education that are looking at not just anti-racism, but looking at various aspects of social justice, racial justice, and education, how we teach it, how we also teach to a new generation of learners, and understanding inquiry and the process of how do we go about asking questions and thinking about our role as active participants in civic life. That's not new to social studies, but again, as I'm scanning the different sessions that are being offered, the content that's being offered, there is a very strong intentional focus on, understanding how we provide this very inclusive space for learning,
mm-hmm.
and that voices of different groups throughout not just American history, but really all of human history are represented in the texts we read, in the questions we ask, in the types of themes we address in school. So I would say that there was, that's why I'm very proud of the way that how the content came together, is because it is very intentionally designed that way, and I think you see that as a through line in a great deal of content that we offer this time.
Yeah, did either of you guys read that book? I think it's The Silk Road, The History of the East. Did either of you read that? Read it.
Not yet.
What you just said reminds me, you know, for years history has been taught, you know, it's Western civilization, okay? But what we call the Dark Ages were the great ages of enlightenment, okay, in the East, in Asia, you know, in the Near East, et cetera. And it's really a very interesting look when you talk about including all groups, okay, into all history. Okay, it gives you a whole different perspective of what was going on when. You should read that. You'll like that book, Anton.
Good book. It's on my list.
Yeah, check it out. I really, really enjoyed it. And my favorite line is, it was the reason that the Huns or whoever stopped in Romania, they didn't take over Europe, was because there was no reason to take over Europe. There was nothing doing there. Who needs the aggravation? We got all this other stuff behind us. Okay, we're doing great. You know, why expand further? And it just struck me that it's a whole different way. And if you look at that, you're a good point there. Look at history from a different perspective. It opens up new things. What'd you hear? What was the scuttlebutt, Anton? Okay, just everybody was concerned about.
Yeah, I think Larry hit it. I think, you know, there's this, you know, we're addressing the issue of equity and inclusion in a lot of different places. I think teachers are still coming to grips with, and we talked about this earlier, right, the whole, you know, 20 months or so now, it'll be, you know, coming up here in March, 2 years of
hard to believe,
for lack of anything else, chaos is a kind word, to deal with it. Teachers, they're best when they're able to build their relationships with their students. And I think,
sure,
you know, they're looking for ways, and certainly to improve upon those practices. And I think those are the kind of things that they look forward to. Teachers across the board are looking for, and it's hard right now, but I think they're looking to be supported in what they do. Right, in the same way that my friends and colleagues in the healthcare industry are looking for that same kind of support. Right, you know, for a while there, everybody in medical was a bit of a hero, and I think, you know, teachers kind of, for better or for worse, and I don't consider myself in that same vein, but you know, we were lauded for stepping up, you know, at a moment's notice and really fundamentally changing the way we taught.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, I don't know of anybody who would say that was the best thing for students or teachers or parents or anybody, but it was like, you know what, this is what we have to do. This is how we approach things. We're going to try to make it, we're going to try to do the best we can. But, you know, then things got weird, right? And we addressed this issue earlier, of things becoming so politicized that, you know, we can't agree that the sun is shining without it becoming some sort of political argument.
Yep.
The sun is shining, but
did it have a mask on? That's what I think the question is.
Right. Or,
yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Or, you know, you can't go outside and, you know, worry about pollution or whatever. And so
Everything
became hyper-politicized. And it's not to say that we haven't gone down this road in the past. We have. I mean,
of course we have.
But I think right now there's a sense of discouragement that I haven't witnessed in my career, where so many people are just they're not sure what to do next. But at the same time, there are those of us who are like, nope, we're going to get through this, and we're gonna do what's best for our students, despite the obstacles that are being placed in front of us. We would rather not have those obstacles there. We'd rather work together. So, you know, like I said, it's going to take a while. But I think
we all have to think on that same note. We have to think outside the box. The box has changed. The box is expanding, changing, whatever. Okay, it might become a triangle or whatever. Who knows? Okay, but we got to think outside the box. It's that simple. You know, which reminds me, and I'm going to say this to both of you. I hope the president will respond to this. That's you, Anton. Okay, in our magazine, Equity and Access. Okay, I would love for you guys to get back into the swing of writing a column each issue. And equity and inclusion is very important for what NCSS stands for. I know that. And so Karen, can you guys tell me, Anton, Mr. President, can you write us a 400-word column for the next issue? Of course you can.
When's my deadline?
New Year's Day. You got time. You got a month.
I can probably put something together for you.
Absolutely. You will.
I'd be honored.
Our magazine gets to 175,000 educators. Okay. I want a column in there monthly about all the good stuff social studies is doing out there for equity and access. Okay. You can do that. Larry, tell them how easy it is.
Yeah. Well, if you're not going to get it from me, you'll probably get it from Larry as well.
Nah, I get it from you. I get the president. Okay, you get a free airplane, right? Larry told you that. Right?
Oh yeah,
free
that's
airplane.
Right. I forgot about that. Yeah. That's right.
NCSS one, you get that. Yeah.
I've got it waiting for me at
the south.
Yes. Unfortunately, I've made the same mistake. It's waiting at Albany Airport as opposed to Baltimore. I'm sorry.
Right, exactly.
Here I'm waiting for it to show up to Colorado Springs.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll show up at the junior high as opposed to the high school. So I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, right.
But it is there. Okay, just charge it to Larry's American Express. It's no problem. Forget what says on the outside. Just charge it to Larry's American Express. You know, one last thing before I go, and I don't want to forget all these wonderful people. You kind of touched on it. But you work with a lot of different groups. All right, and I'm thinking, I mentioned it earlier, Larry, about the, like, geography teachers. And just, I think it's important that we talk about not just history, but all aspects of social studies. So what groups are you working with, just partnering with, and all that sort of stuff?
Well, we're actually active.
Give me credit.
We're actually active with about 8 different coalitions right now. And the ones that I'm, you know, like to elevate a little bit more. We're an active member, as Anton mentioned, of a Learn From History Coalition. That's at learnfromhistory.org. Several dozen education organizations focused really on the, you know, how we teach history and understanding that history is approached from a fact-based approach, that we focus on information literacy in teaching history, and we are focused on truth. And so that is a critical organization because they provide talking points and ways to talk about what goes on in the social studies classroom with school board members, with parents, with community members, with school leaders. So it's a critical group. Active member of the Civics Now Coalition. They're, again, 175 plus organizations, all focused on supporting quality civics and history learning in our schools. They've also been very strong advocates of the Civic Secures Democracy Act, which we hope as a bipartisan bill in both houses of Congress that we hope gets passed, because it will make a needed investment of $1 billion for history and civics education. So we're very proud to support that work. National Coalition for History, that is another advocacy coalition that focuses on history and humanities education, supporting archival work, supporting really just the critical role of history throughout our K-12 and higher ed continuum. We're part of the National Media Literacy Education Alliance. We're part of the Title IV-A Coalition. That supports the use of federal dollars for a well-rounded education, so we're proud of that work. I'm going to leave groups off because, honestly, we've joined several in the past year, but all of them are focused on how we advocate for this quality, well-rounded education in our schools and how we make that critical investment, not just in teachers, but in schools themselves to support student achievement in social studies. So Educating All Learners Alliance is another example. We're part of a coalition that's supporting the use of broadband dollars to support equitable access to technology for kids, especially, you know, they go home, do they have access to broadband so that they can not just participate in online learning, but just work, do their work, learn, grow in a digital age. How do they do that? So we support that work as well. And I really encourage all of you to just, you know, get to know the education organizations that are out there supporting the work, not just of social studies, but the work of a well-rounded education for your child, because they are out there. We are working hard every day to support teachers and support kids to ensure that schools are the robust, awesome places that they are, and that the messaging around what the value of school is stays front and center.
Well said, my friend. Well said. I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm glad you're working with all those organizations. Guys, thank you both. I'm going to send you a list of dates for our podcast for next year. I want you both to have a good Christmas. It's only 25 days away. What do you say?
Oh, dear.
Anton?
That means I gotta do a little shopping.
Amazon.
To keep everybody happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yes, no, I wish everybody out there safe and healthy holidays. And just urge, like Larry said, you know, urge people to who listen, get involved, ask good questions of folks out there, and support education, period. So
you got that right, my friend. You got that right. I'll see you at the mall on Christmas Eve running to the jewelry stores. Is that correct?
No,
maybe?
I usually don't wait that late. It's usually
okay,
the 23rd.
Good. Good man. Okay, this is great. And Larry, you too. It's a holiday season. You enjoy it, my friend. Happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah started yesterday. You're not even Jewish. Happy Hanukkah.
Yes.
Right.
Happy holidays to you too.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. Okay, you guys, you take care. It's great. It's always great to have you here. I got to tell you, I just love having SCSS on here. It's meaningful to me. Okay, so thank you both. Thank you.
Absolutely, Larry. Enjoy.
Be good, guys.
Take care
and thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Larry Paske, Executive Director of NCSS, National Council for the Social Studies, socialstudies.org, and the Association President, Anton Schulsky, who's a high school teacher, okay, in Colorado Springs, Colorado. All right, we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. We have a new issue of Equity and Access coming out online at ace-ed.org this week, all right? But in our January issue, NCSS will be in there, okay, with a column. All right, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We're taking a few days off. We will be back next Monday. So everybody take good care, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.